I start reading. For we are led by us together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid foundation, and another builder thereof. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Sure.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In this particular verse of scripture, which is contained in the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, it just defines what our business here is. That we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
And our mission is the gospel mission, which is the ministry of restoration.
Amen.
Of godliness.
Amen.
To mankind. God's mission, which is part of the Great Commission, is that godliness is restored.
Yeah.
To each and every one of us here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all we are doing is we are co-laborers.
Amen.
We have heard sermons being preached here.
Yeah.
And I am adding on the list of topics that have been given to us during the course of this camp meeting. And the subject that we are considering this morning is the restoration of godliness to humanity.
Yes.
I once worked for the insurance industry. We had what we called the underwriting department, and we had also what we called the claims department. When we were in the underwriting department, we looked for individuals who market and invite people with houses, cars. It was short-term insurance business. And what they would do is they would invite even companies with assets so that we would insure their property. And one of the, we were very happy at the end of the month is we received subscriptions from people who wanted to underwrite their risks. Because some would say, I've bought my expensive Mercedes Benz, I want you to give me full cover so that should I lose it in an accident, you will be able to restore it to me.
Yeah.
And we used to evaluate each risk and put a premium on it. To say, look, this risk, we need so much. And we would be very interested to find out how that vehicle is used so that when we underwrite the risk, we can charge the correct level. Because come end of the year, we would be comparing the claims that are coming from those people who have insured with us and how much premium has been paid by everybody.
Yeah.
And that's how the company used to make their money. If the claims exceeded the premiums, then we'd have a big loss.
Yeah.
And in order to avoid a situation where we are not able to pay for certain risks, we would have contracts with other reinsurers who have a big financial muscle to support us in case we fail. And then those people would come in and say, look, for this risk, beyond this level, we are able to come in. But I want to illustrate that in our lives, you know, this life that you are living, my brother, and this life I'm living is a risk.
Yes. Amen.
Every day is a risk.
Yes.
When you go out there, you can be knocked down by a vehicle.
God bless you.
You can come across robbers. They can kill you. You can lose your wife. You can lose your life.
God bless.
Everything, there can be war at any time, and you may lose everything that will work for the rest of your life. Back then in our insurance business, there are certain risks which we would really tell you expressly that we are not able to have. One of the risks was if there is a war and your house is bombed, we are not able to cover it because we have no control over such incidents. We have no way of mitigating those risks. And one of the issues we didn't cover was if there was a storm, there were acts which we call acts of God. Then you would plead and say, I've been paying my premiums, why are you not covering? Then we say, no, it's beyond us. We never agreed that we'll cover this. So in such a situation, it means the subject of restoration has to be considered very serious.
Amen.
Because the question of gaining what we have, you know, when we have lost it, to be restored to that position, you know, it's something that you should take seriously.
Amen.
A lot of people will be very comfortable in their lives whilst they come forth, but when disaster strikes, it means they were not prepared. They never took any measure, and they lose everything that we have. But we want to thank God that in His divine plan, He has got a plan that suits everybody.
Amen. Amen.
A plan that suits the young, a plan that suits the old,
yes.
A plan that feeds the poor,
yeah.
And a plan that feeds the rich.
Yeah.
God can restore.
Amen.
Because He is the owner of everything.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God is able to restore good health.
Amen.
God is able to restore a good, sound life for a young
man
who has been wrecked by sin.
Yeah.
God can bring that to sanity. This morning, we are considering the aspect of sanctification.
Amen.
Sanctification is the second work of grace.
Bless you.
You know, we were all born sinners.
Amen.
We heard yesterday about justification.
Mm.
We were born sinners.
Yeah.
All of us, irrespective of your background, you were born a sinner.
Yeah.
Even if your parents were the high priests in your church or whatever background you may have had. But we have the same testimony like David, that he was born a sinner. And we want to thank God that because we were born sinners, it was not because God wanted to condemn us. You know, being born a sinner is not something that you can say, look, it's your fault. Because you never applied. You never applied to be born. Someone said, yeah, you never applied to be born by your mother or your father. You have no decision in that. You found yourself in that situation, and here you are. But I can tell you, because you are here,
yeah,
where you are, and you are alive, hearing this message, God wants you to make a decision.
Amen. Amen.
Because you have your full senses, and God is saying to you, yes, you were born a sinner, but in order to be saved, you need to repent.
Amen.
And when God gives these instructions, they are all commands.
Yeah.
God is not like, you know, persuading. Say, may you repent.
No.
He just says, repent.
Yes.
You know, the word of God comes in a command format.
Yes. God bless you.
Because God is interested in your welfare.
Amen.
And for those who are going to obey the message, God is going to bless them.
Amen.
God has got a full package for this correction.
Amen.
A full package. But like we heard during the testimony time, you have to get saved first.
Yes. Amen. God bless you.
In order for the rest to follow, you must get your salvation.
Amen. God.
The purpose of this salvation is to protect your life.
Yes.
But it's also to give you a good foundation for good things to come.
Amen.
When you are saved, you set a very good foundation for things to come.
Amen. Amen.
Both physical and spiritual.
Bless you.
God will take care of you now.
Yeah.
He will take care of you in eternity.
Amen.
You are given life now, and you are assured of life after death.
Amen. Glory be to God.
But you see, because of the risk, that your salvation, you will be lost.
Amen.
There are certain steps you have to take.
That's very true. That's very true.
You may be saved, but you are not like that fish You know, on the cross, he said, Jesus, remember me. You are so fortunate. You know that Jesus said, today.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
I'll be with you in paradise.
Amen. Amen.
That meant he don't have enemies.
No. Not at all.
Because he was never going to see any sinner. No. There was no one. You are not going to interact with anyone. His last interaction was with Jesus.
Amen.
And then from there, straight to heaven.
Glory be to God. God bless you.
And that tells you that, you know, that man, you can't say it's you because already you are here.
God bless you.
I'm like that man. You are very different.
Yeah.
Because that man has to talk to Jesus, and after that, he crossed over and he was in paradise.
Yeah.
And every risk of his sin was annihilated by Jesus. Jesus carried all the risks of his sin.
Yeah.
You know, the sins of that man were borne by Jesus.
Yeah.
Right there on the cross, he said, look, I want you to have this great debt of sin. You have lived such a reckless life.
Yes.
And that reckless life, I'm taking it off.
Yeah.
Those sins are being counted on me.
Yeah.
And you are going into heaven, you know, to eternity, to enjoy eternity forever.
Amen.
And if one does, anyone of us will go, you will find that man.
Yeah.
Maybe you will have a discussion with him and he will tell you, no, I was very fortunate.
Amen.
I was very fortunate because at my point of exit, I met the restorer.
Amen.
That's my point of exit. I met him who met us.
Amen.
He made the difference.
Yes.
But for you and me, we also need to make a decision.
Amen. That's very true.
Lord, you need to make a decision to be saved from your sins. You can talk just like the man talked to Jesus. You can say, Jesus, forgive my sins.
Amen.
And Jesus will forgive your sins. And when you are forgiven, and you have the joy of salvation, and you are living a victorious life, and you are enjoying the blessings, there is the risk. What is the risk? The risk is that you are still here.
Yeah.
Amen.
God bless you.
That risk was with Adam.
Okay.
He was created in the likeness of God. Everything about him was godly. But one day he had a visitor, a strange visitor, who came to him. And he told him a lie through Eve, his wife. The wife met the serpent who was representing the devil, and she was cheated. And today we are victims. We are all born sinners. Because of the sin of one man, we were all put at risk. But we want to thank God that through the righteousness of Jesus Christ,
amen,
each and every one of us can be restored back to righteousness.
Amen. Glory be to God.
One person brought the risk. One person took away the risk.
Amen. Glory be to God.
One person brought the problems. But one person can also take away the problem.
Amen.
So we have a wonderful choice. For those of us who have been saved, we want to thank God.
Amen.
That God has been so gracious. God has been so merciful. He never counted how much sin we committed. You know, he overlooked everything and he said that this was a time of ignorance.
Yeah.
When we repented, God said, yes, it's all blotted. But we don't want to bask, you know, under the sunlight of salvation without considering what sanctification is all about.
Amen.
And let's read in Matthew chapter 5, we have an extract of the first sermon by our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Now we can see that you and me, we may not qualify yet if we are not sanctified. Because of this background that we find, let's open Romans chapter 3, from verse 23 to 25. Chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We can actually contrast our nature and the nature of God. God is saying, I mean, he's let's just read, Jesus was actually preaching when he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's just see God's nature in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. We want to look at God's nature in Leviticus chapter 19. We read from verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It was God's command for you and for me, just as it was for those children of Israel, that we must be holy. Because God himself, his nature is holiness.
Yes, yes. God bless you.
I think all of us, even if you are not saved, you can attest to God's holiness.
Yes.
Because when God is sending rain, you know, when it is the rain, there is no boundary. It has no boundaries. It will go, you may have, you know, a murderer who is next to go to you. The rain will come there. You may have a thief. The rain will be there. And God's nature, so far from where we are, because of his holiness, he has got grace. He has given us this period of grace where he's saying to everybody, irrespective of how sinful you are, come back.
Amen.
Be restored.
Amen.
So the Bible is saying God's nature is holiness. But we were born sinners. So, sin in us, some people say, I don't know what sin is. I don't know. I heard people say, sin, sin, sin. What is sin? Every preacher seems to be talking about sin. What is sin? You know, when God gives you a law, like in the beginning, Adam was given just one. He said, out of these trees, you must not eat that one tree of life. It was not much. He was not told about the adultery. He was not told about the lying. He was not told about all these other things. What say to him? Just that tree, don't. Because you observe that one.
God bless you.
God will take care of the rest.
Yeah. Glory be to God.
And then Adam despised that one law. He broke it.
God,
and when he broke it, the first major sin that came was met.
Hey.
You know, when you see the consequences of breaking God's law are so dire. In his family, he experienced the murder. So what we are saying is that sin is not something that you should take lightly.
No. Yeah.
When God says don't, don't.
Mm.
So,
Amen.
Because when you do what God says don't, there is a big problem. Some of the problems you might not see them. But because God has said it, he has said it out of love. And it is for our protection.
Yes.
So we can see that from there, all of us, we were born sinners.
Yeah.
And we are the consequence of one man's decision.
That's very true. That's very true.
We were put at the risk because of one man. But we want to glorify God.
Yes.
That God made a plan.
Yes.
Not only to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
To take away the inbred sin that we inherited from Adam and to give us a new nature.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, when you are saved, will come into you.
Yes.
But in order to have the nature of Jesus in you, you must be sanctified.
Amen. Amen.
You have to be sanctified.
Yes.
And when you are sanctified, you have this privilege that you can talk to God freely.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Isaiah was a prophet.
Yeah.
You know, but his first encounter with God is found in Isaiah chapter 6. We can just read.
Yes, God bless you.
Isaiah chapter 6.
Glory be to God.
As a prophet, let's see what Isaiah, his encounter with God in Isaiah chapter 6, I shall read from you. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings, which twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Verse 3. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Amen.
And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then I said, then said I, who is me? For I am undone, because I am a man full of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. We can actually see that God is interested in cleansing us.
Yes.
God is interested in cleaning us up
from
the mess that we have made. When we come to God, let us not consider how sinful we have been.
Yeah.
Because God knows it all. But we should consider the privilege God has given us to be at this camp meeting.
Yes.
And the change that he can make in our lives.
Amen.
And the improvement that he can make in our lives.
Amen.
That if you came here as a sinner, you can be saved.
Yes.
And if you came here as a saved person, you can be sanctified.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
And there is benefit in taking what God has invited us for.
Yes.
And we should all consider that benefit. Amen. God helping us.
Amen.
Let's read Ephesians chapter 5 and just go to see Christ's purpose as the source of restoration. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing, but that he should be, that he should be holy and without blemish. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 26 to 27 is spelling out Christ's purpose for you and for me.
Amen.
That he came to save that which was lost.
Lost, yes.
And then to cleanse for himself a holy church, a glorious church.
Bless you.
And that his church should be without blemish.
Yeah.
And that state is obtained through sanctification.
Amen.
Sanctification is an experience.
Yeah.
That you can get after concentrating your life to God.
Yes.
When you are saved, the word salvation has got an extended meaning.
That's very true.
It's not a one-time, you know, job that they may call, you know, just an event. It has to be an event and a process.
Yes. Yes.
You are saved. But in order to keep safe, you must keep safe.
Yeah.
If you are saved and you don't keep safe, you will be lost.
Yeah.
But if you are saved and you are kept in that salvation will take you to eternity.
Amen.
Your name will remain in the book of life.
Amen.
But immediately you sin, your name will be taken out of the book of life.
Amen.
And if the name is taken out of the book of life, even if you were saved yesterday, you are no longer saved today.
Yeah.
But we want to thank God that through sanctification, God has made a plan for your maintenance, for your continual presence before God, for your continual association with God.
Amen.
Let's just look at the challenges that we have through temptation. Temptation itself, as you know, is not a sin, but yielding to temptation is a sin. God does not forsake his own because they are tempted. Rather, he gives the grace and strength to stand fast in times of temptation.
Amen.
Scripture teaches us that it is possible for individuals to live lives free from sin, stating unequivocally that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Amen.
So it means, yes, God is able.
Yeah.
When he saves you, he gives you victory.
Amen.
When he saves you, there is no, you know, boundary.
Yeah.
But there is something much more that you need to gain.
Yes, yes, yes.
As human beings, you know, there is a tendency for self-righteousness. Human beings have a tendency for self-righteousness. And our depraved nature sometimes tells us that educate yourself, you'll be a righteous person, you'll be a rational person. You are educated, you are able to reason, you are able to take logical decisions. And sometimes we even compare our cultures to say some cultures are better because they but I can tell you, a as long as a person is born a sinner, they are a sinner. Amen. Irrespective of how polished their culture may be. But we want to thank God that through salvation, God has made a provision. And through sanctification, He has made a better provision.
God bless you.
That all Amen. Of us may be restored
Amen.
To godliness.
Amen.
Holiness is godliness.
Amen.
Holiness is the ability to live here on earth as Christ lived.
Amen. Amen.
When you call yourself a Christian, when I call myself a Christian, we are saying we are living a Christ-like life.
God bless you. Amen.
We are living like Christ. And many a times, when we say we are Christians, the angels want to know exactly what we mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Because to them it's a miracle to say, how is this person related to Christ? But we want to thank God that we have the privilege
Amen.
To be here. Sanctification has got two parts. Where if you want to be sanctified, you consecrate yourself.
Amen.
You have to hand over your ambitions to God.
Amen.
You have to hand over your life to God.
Amen.
You have to consecrate your likes and dislikes to God.
Amen.
And ask God to be your all in all.
Amen.
You surrender to God.
Yes.
You say, God, I'm a young man. I'm not married. I'm not worried about the future. I want you to take care of me.
Amen.
God, Amen. I'm a young man. I am a single man. I am whatever you are. You say, whatever I am, I'm handing over my life to you.
Amen.
Take care of my own.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Glory be to God.
And when you surrender yourself to God, when you give yourself to God, when you are not withholding any interest of yours, God can put peace in you.
Yeah.
God can possess you.
Amen.
God can say you are mine.
Amen.
He can claim you.
Amen. Glory be to God.
There are certain things that we do to separate ourselves. We separate ourselves from friends.
Yeah.
Evil friends. Evil influences. You know, before you are saved, you have some evil friends. But when you are saved, you are given a new set of values. And God wants to use those new set of values, not the old values.
Amen.
Before you are saved, as young people, you know, it's quite a topic to talk about relationships. They say, how many do we have? They do competition. They are five. And you? You've got nothing.
Seven.
Some say I've seven. Some say I've got ten. But I tell you, when you are saved, you have got a new set of values.
Amen. God bless you.
You are not putting your value based on the number of girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
Your relationship with Jesus
Amen.
Is enough to cover any
Amen.
Relationship you may
have
with anyone,
Amen.
Including your parents.
Amen.
Jesus comes first.
Amen.
He comes before your education.
Yeah.
He comes before your job.
Amen.
He comes before even what you consider to be your family. Jesus should be first.
Amen.
So whatever decision you are making for God, Jesus should come first.
Amen.
And everything follows.
Amen.
And when it is like that, you are ready for sanctification.
Glory be to God.
God will come in.
Amen.
And He will purify you.
Amen.
He will eradicate that sin nature.
Amen.
You know, I know some people who want to lose weight.
Mm.
Well, some people don't like their way. Go ahead because they want to do it. And sometimes they are told that, you know, in order to for you to have a portable body, you have to do certain things. You are told to diet, please limit the amount of starch that you take. If you want, you know, do exercise, do this, do that, do that. And if you follow through, it may be painful, but if you follow through, you will enjoy.
Amen.
But if you sit back and say, I'm comfortable, well, yes, you will be comfortable, but you are limiting yourself.
Yeah.
We don't want to limit ourselves.
Amen.
Whatever God tells us to do, we want to do
it.
Because
Amen.
It's for our good.
Amen.
If it is marriage, don't let your marriage stand between you and God.
Yeah.
Don't let your future stand between you and God.
Amen.
Because that future, whatever it is very temporal.
Yes.
But if you surrender yourself to God, God is going to help you.
Amen.
Sanctification includes everything
yeah.
in our lives. You can Amen. Say, this area, God don't touch. This area is a car. Includes your choice every day where you want to go, your employment, who you want to marry,
yeah.
who are going to be your friends, where will you go. So, in order for you to be blessed of God, you must follow through the word of God.
Amen.
Let's just see the areas that God will cover in your life. Let's talk about sanctification in communication. Because all of us have got speech. Speech is one aspect of life which reflects character. You know, like you start a vehicle, some can tell that's a daft engine. Just from the engine note.
Yeah.
Let's hear what the word of God is telling us. Luke chapter 6, verse 45.
Bless you.
Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So people can tell who you are by what you say. They may not know you, but when they listen to you, they will know you through what you say.
Yeah.
And may God help us
Amen.
To get the experience of sanctification.
Amen.
Because like Isaiah, when he was talking to other people, he got defiled. Why was he defiled? Because they said to him things that were offending. When you listen to others speak to you and you answer them, the Bible says in the multitude of words, one has not seen. So, without you knowing, you will be a sinner. But we want to thank God that the provision of our speech to be made sound.
Amen.
And that sound speech can be given through the experience of such.
Amen.
Your testimony as a Christian can be preserved.
Amen.
Through how God can put his holiness within you.
Amen.
And as such, people will know you to be a man of God. You will be truthful. You know, people sometimes tell lies. They look you in the eyes and they are telling lies. When you look at them, there's nothing whatsoever. That lie detector which my brother was talking about yesterday, it picks zero. But we want to thank God.
Yeah.
That God, who is all seeing, can sanctify you.
Amen.
Amen.
And can let you speak the truth from your heart.
Amen.
The truth and only the truth.
Yes.
There is sanctification in our beliefs as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear people expressing themselves what they believe in, and then you wonder whether they are sanctified. Because our beliefs emanate from our depraved nature. But we want to thank God that when God sanctifies us, our belief system is not just guided by, you know, what we have heard. The word of God that we read is written in our hearts.
Amen. Amen.
God can speak to us.
Amen.
And as young people, most of us are interested in recreation. The activities that you like to occupy yourself with, maybe social media. A lot of people don't like social media. But I can tell you, social media is here to stay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember some people say, you know, I like reading the Bible, this Bible.
Yeah.
When I get something like this, I get confused. But my brother, the Bible is the Bible.
Yeah.
It's the word of God.
Amen.
It's maybe written, you know, like old. They used to write it on those scrolls.
Yes.
It remains the word of God.
Amen. God bless you. Glory be to God.
We have the development of technology and the Bible is here.
Yeah.
And the technology is still going ahead. The Bible is here.
Yes.
But wherever the Bible is, it's the Bible.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
And it's the holy word of God.
Amen.
The mind of God is holy. So wherever you find the mind of God, follow it.
Amen.
Whatever God says to you, do it.
Yes.
How can I pick up my phone and speak to someone in Harare using my cell phone? And God speaks to me using the same media. I say, no, it's no longer God, it's polluted. God remains God.
Yes.
This is only a medium of communication. We used to write letters, and that is how we live. Now we have a new environment, but God remains the same.
Yes.
He remains holy.
Amen.
So the fact that the devil is pushing up a lot of death through social media.
Yes.
A lot of rubbish is coming through social media. But the fact that you are sanctified ensures you, protects you,
Amen.
Gives you a guarantee
Amen.
That well, whatever the devil pushes through, it's not for you.
Yeah. Glory be to God. Amen.
You know, you can tell because, you know, when you open your tablet, it's not that everything just comes to you like that. These things you have to sit down, especially you young people. You like adverts coming through your phones and so on and so on and so on. Ask those who are very competent in this media. They will tell you there are certain things you can do to stop your, tablet from getting all the rubbish.
Yes.
You can control what comes through.
Sure.
And you do not need to open it. You don't need it.
God bless you.
But what you need, you can get.
Yeah.
What is helpful to you, you can get.
Amen.
The way you get it is when you are sanctified.
Amen.
So don't blame the tablet. It's not about that computer. It's about you.
Yeah.
You are not sanctified.
Yeah.
Your problem is you are not sanctified.
Yeah.
Just like a young man will go out there, you don't need to supervise them. You know, they can really waste their lives. parents, we may be worried about our children, but the answer is sanctification.
Yes. God bless you.
If everybody is sanctified, then we don't have any problem. Sanctification brings automatic unity.
Yeah.
Not uniformity. Uniformity is just something outside. You can design something and you can say like a school, let us be like this. But we want to thank God that when you are truly sanctified, God gives you inward peace.
Amen.
God gives you inward unity.
Amen.
Unity of purpose. There is no conflict. Because whatever is of conflict comes from the devil.
Yeah.
But whatever is of God is peace. May God help us.
Amen.
We have sanctification even in our financial matters.
Yeah.
Your finances can be sanctified.
Yes. Amen.
God can sanctify your finances. You know, when you are not saved, this flesh can become your trap. God blesses you with a lot of money, and that money becomes your downfall. God blesses you with a lot of education, and even your presentation as the same person when you are sanctified, when you are saved, everybody admires you.
Yeah.
And even the devil himself admires you. Just like he admired the place of Adam, you will be admiring you, wanting you to be like him. But I will tell you, even if you are given this whole world and you are sanctified, that world will never be yours.
Amen. Amen.
Abraham was told by God, walk before me and be thou perfect.
Yes.
And your testimony that Abraham was given title deeds for the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
But he lived there like in tents. When he was the possessor of the whole Canaan, God had given him. But he lived like a stranger. Why? Because through his life, when God walked with him, he sanctified him.
Yeah.
And not only sanctified him, but proved his sanctification.
Yes.
To say, for 25 years,
yeah,
I'll give you a promise. But that promise is dependent upon obedience. You have to obey me.
Amen.
And when he was given a son, he didn't stop there.
Yeah.
He went further than the son. Even if God had given him the only son, he sacrificed him. Because God remained his all in all.
Amen.
And may God help us.
Amen.
That when God blesses us because we are his children, whatever God blesses us with, we must give it back to him.
Amen.
Whatever God is going to give you because he has given you a new life belongs to God.
Yes.
It's not yours.
Yes.
It's only a benefit because you are a child of God.
Yes.
So may God sanctify our financial
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
It is our prayer that when it comes to tithes, you know, it's not something that you really think of because God is not asking any favor. When he's asking for your tithes, he's not asking for any favor. God is just asking you to be what you should be.
Yes.
God has given it to you. And he's saying, out of what I've given you, just give me one tenth. And God wants to sanctify our finances.
Yeah.
So that he may not say, after you are saved, you are a thief. And the devil is waiting. He wants to label you a thief because you testify that you are saved. And the very quick way of doing it is to withhold your tithe. And immediately before God, you are a thief. Everybody may not call you a thief. They don't know how much you steal and how you steal it, but God knows. So we are saying, may God help us to be sanctified.
Amen.
So that we are not tempted to steal.
Yeah.
God may keep us away.
Amen.
Let's look at our physical bodies. Sanctification applies to our physical bodies.
Amen.
What you wear should be sanctified.
Amen.
It should reflect that you are a child of God.
Yes. Amen.
You are set apart for God.
Yes. God bless
you. If you dress like a harlot, the world will treat you like a harlot.
Sure.
But if you are dressed like a child of God, you will be respected.
Amen.
No, when you were going on the road, it's so difficult to perform. I mean, I agree with you. You can, it's easy to dress as you feel, but when you meet a policeman and you are putting on a tie, sometimes it's the attitude. I mean, in most cases, it changes completely. What I've seen is for the police, they say, please box, please box. And most of the thieves are doing that now. They wait, they look very smart. When they approach the roadblock, there's nothing you can blame. But meanwhile, they are carrying dahak. They are carrying, you know, dangerous material. And the police will say, that please pass. You look very smart. You look very good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what maybe when you come to church. I put on the tie, but God is not looking at my tie.
No.
He's looking at my heart.
Amen.
God does not look at my suit, he's looking at my heart. Because that's what matters.
Amen.
Before I put on a suit for your sake, I put on this suit for your sake, but I put on holiness for God's sake.
Amen.
Because I don't want to mislead anyone.
Yes. Amen.
But for God's sake, I must put on holiness.
Yes.
I must wear holiness.
Amen.
My desires must be sanctified.
Amen.
My desires in my life must be sanctified.
Amen.
So may God help us.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus came, he had this problem. The Pharisees were putting on a very impressive outward. And he said, ye hypocrites. But if we don't want to be hypocrites, let us be genuinely sanctified. And when God sanctifies us, we can't help ourselves. That's who we are.
Yes.
When we are offended, you know, God sanctifies our emotions.
Amen.
You know, you can't say, I will not be offended. Jesus said, offenses must come.
Yes, yes.
So you are not living in a world where there is no offense. Jesus said, offenses must come.
Yes.
And Jesus said, I mean, the Bible also says, many are the afflictions.
Yes.
So you can be sure you are a candidate for God.
Yes.
But there is full restoration.
Amen.
God has promised the remedy.
Amen.
That will cover you in all situations.
Amen.
Let's just look at sanctification of our emotions.
God bless us.
Amen. Because sometimes we need emotions that are something not coming from God. But I can tell you, what God requires is sanctification of emotions. They are there, but God must sanctify them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of cancer. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, that is anger. Let's read to Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 26 to 27. Be ye angry. There is a form again. And sin not. Be angry and sin not. Anger is an emotion that is unavoidable. But we need to still remain Christians.
Yes. Amen.
Sometimes you are angered by your children, sometimes by your husbands, sometimes by your wife. But that need not take away your Christianity.
Amen.
Sometimes
Amen.
You are angered by your workmates, but that need not take your life.
Amen.
And that need not mar your testimony. we must be sanctified and grow after we are sanctified. Amen. It's a 10-year experience, but it also applies to your daily life.
Yes. God bless you.
It's difficult to say this man is a Christian, because when people see you fighting in the street, they will never ask what happened. They will not, they don't have time to ask. They only have one statement. If they take a video, it's you fighting. It's you fighting, that's all. Whether you say I was angered, whether you say that, you don't have an audience. They will not listen to you. They don't know. All they know is that you were fighting. Or if you were speaking those harsh words, that's what they know. And these days, social media is very much abuzz with such stories. To say the pastor was actually still fighting. It will be just, it doesn't need a formal newspaper. That's the creed. And then it's all over. And it's a testimony that will preach. But what we are saying is, may God sanctify us, amen, even in our emotion. Amen. Yes, anger, you will be angry. But let's see what the Bible is saying here. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, when things go wrong, you must know that the devil is standing by you. And he wants to take advantage. And the devil knows exactly where to strike. But what we are saying is, if we are sanctified, God will give us the restraint. He will give us, you know, the control that we need. Because without him, we cannot control ourselves. We can't. But if we are truly sanctified, God will give the boundary. Let's see the other emotion that is in the camps. One Kings chapter 11, verse 9. And the Lord was very angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him. But there is only anger. God himself was angry with Solomon. Solomon had privileges. And you, as a child of God, there is no way you can rejoice when there is sin around. There is no way you can be at peace and pretend that nothing is wrong when there's sin around you. So, as children of God, we must be able to react in a godly manner.
Yes.
When we are faced with threatening situations of sin, we must be able to react, but in a godly manner.
Amen.
And God is saying here, he was angry. Yeah. The reason why he was angry is because someone he trusted and let him down. And may God not be angry because we have let him down.
Amen.
And it is our prayer that God will help us.
Amen.
And having a sanctified approach will carry us through.
Amen.
Because we are in this world, and this world wants to turn us and make us like it is.
Yeah.
But we want to thank God that the saved children of God, God is interested in our world.
Amen. Yes. Bless.
There is an incident which we find in John chapter 11. I'm not going to read all of it. I'll start from Jesus, from verse 35. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of life have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. We know that story. They say the shortest verse in the Bible is what we just read. Jesus wept 2 words. They say one of the shortest was the shortest. But what they are saying is that there was a reason.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus wept because of the situation.
Yes.
Because of what was prevailing. It touched him. Martha was saying, Jesus had been here.
Yeah.
You know, our brother, I mean, our brother would not have died. He would have been sustained. And Jesus knew that they were in an hour of sorrow because they buried him. And they were regretting. But Jesus used this occasion to tell us the mystery of restoration.
Amen.
That even if we are at that point,
yes,
where we think it's hopeless, where we think it's all gone, where we are regretting and saying, had it been like this, had it been like this, it would not be like this. Our state is a sorry state.
Yeah.
And God, you know, in his mercy, has compassion for each and every one.
Amen. Amen.
God has compassion. So that godly emotion was followed by a miracle. God realized how much loss had been caused to him. But to him, it was not a loss. It was a manner of revealing the power of God.
Yes.
It has
yes.
never been a loss in the first place. Yes. Even when his disciples were talking to him, he was saying, no, he's asleep.
Yes.
But I will go there and wake him up.
Amen.
But the people were very sorrowful. They said, it's hopeless. It can't be the best.
Yes.
But we want to thank God, the restorer is here.
Yes.
Amen.
God is here. No matter what the situation is, it's not beyond redemption.
Yeah.
4 days in the grave is not something that you can take easy.
No.
It's not something that you can laugh over.
Not at all.
It's not something that you can say, no, this is just something that happened. No. The people were truly grieving.
Yeah.
But we want to thank God that there is someone who can restore what men can think is impossible.
Yes.
But with God, all is possible.
Amen.
And he said, if you believe in me, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the life.
Yes.
If you believe in me, not only will this one rise. I mean, not because they thought that we were talking about this end resurrection. He said, no, I am the present. I live in the present.
Yes.
I don't live in the future. I live now.
Amen.
If you bring your problem to me now, I will solve it.
Amen.
Because with me, I am able.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is exactly what we
God bless you.
Yes.
So, this restorer is here.
Amen.
He can sanctify your emotions.
Yes.
He can make you see the right perspective.
Yes.
He can help you to comprehend what is around you.
Yes.
He will remove the confusion that we have. All he's asking is, come to me.
Yes.
He's saying, come to me.
Yes.
And if you come to him, he will restore you.
Amen.
You will restore your marriage.
Amen.
You will restore your relations.
Amen.
You will restore your finances.
Yes.
You will restore your health.
Yes.
You will restore all those complications.
Amen.
That you think are in your life. Those equations which are not matching, which are not balancing,
yes.
God is ready to
take. Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen.
Glory.